Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, if you visit Ambon, it's incomplete without tasting ikan asar galala, the most iconic culinary in Ambon, Maluku. It is called ikan asar galala because it has been known since ancient times that Galala village is a fish hunter. The basic ingredients of ikan asar are generally cakalang fish, yellowtail fish, or mackerel tuna fish, as long as the fish's texture is dense so that it is not brittle when smoked. Ikan asar is a smoked fish. This is smoked differently and uniquely. In general, the fish is smoked horizontally, but ikan asar is placed diagonally on the side of the embers that produce smoke to make the fish completely dry and fully cooked. The cooking process is quite simple. After cleaning the entrails, the fish is skewered with bamboo and ready to be smoked on the stove. The smoking takes about 4 until 5 hours. And it's done in a closed room so that the smoke soaks into the meat until it is completely cooked. Listener, ikan asar has an extraordinary taste because the smoked fish is savory and the aroma is so appetizing. Ikan asar is very appropriate to be enjoyed with warm rice and sambal colo-colo, a typical Maluku sauce made from shallots, chilies, basil, and key lime.
Boy, listeners, still tuning in with me, Ray, in Indonesia Today. And if you want to send your critic suggestion, you can send it through our social media. Facebook account, The Voice of Indonesia. Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. Instagram and TikTok in VOI _official. We also have our email address in VOI @voinews.id and WhatsApp number in +62 821 238 12130.
Seperti permen kapas, biar angin bertiup, kita rentangkan harap, rasanya masih baru kemarin. Na 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 la 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 na 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 na. Rasanya sudah tak sabar lagi menanti kamu yang menemani. Biar semua berjalan, hadapilah rintangan, rasa-rasanya baru kemarin.
Chasing, coming closer. And then also this voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world listener, March the 9th is the National Music Day of Indonesia. And today, we are going to talk about how to bring Indonesian music to the next level. And also, you see in a video we just played, it's about the upcoming music event that you shouldn't miss. And to talk more about the two of them, we are connected via Zoom, expert in culture, Mas Franky Raden. Good morning, Mas Franky.
Good morning, everyone. How's it going?
It's nice. And how about you?
Yeah, fasting is smooth so far. This is fasting month, right?
Yeah.
I'm fine. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I wish everybody.
Happy fasting to everyone.
Happy fasting for everyone. Yeah. Okay, Mas Franky, I would like to know. Today we are going to talk about how to bring Indonesian music to the next level. But
yes,
there are certainly a lot of area to cover. But what is our current biggest anchor today?
Wow, that's a very big topic. I can write a dissertation for that issue. Yeah, actually, of course, many. Yeah, but there are two basic things. Basically, first is of course, in the local context, we need more support for traditional music, especially indigenous music, let's put it that way. Because of course the world is changing. Yeah, you can no longer keep your indigenous culture intact as it is before. Yeah. Of course, now that we have to accept that, but still we need to put as much as effort, yeah. I mean, every one of us, if we still want to have our own cultural identity, yeah, to preserve that, yeah, and to not only preserve, but preserving doesn't mean you put it in a museum and then that's all. No, preserving means that you have to, you have to use it and practice in daily practice, yeah. Also, that's also related to music. That's one thing. The second thing, nowadays when we talk, we're talking the music context. Yeah. Today, in this at this very moment, this is the era of what so-called creative economy, where music has a big part of it as a product. Yeah, I mean, through music you can gain a lot of revenue, and individually as a musician you can gain a lot. I mean, you can survive, not only survive, you can be as good as a musician. A professional musician, and if you're thinking about economic, you can gain a lot of economic gain basically through music and traditional music also. Yeah. Now, because why I said that, because there is a huge market out there, unfortunately not yet in Indonesia, but in the global scale, of course mainly in the Western hemisphere, but now it's also covering Asian hemisphere. Continent also, the huge market about so-called, of course they don't use the term traditional music, they use the term world music. Yeah? If I count it over 6.5 billion US dollar, the market share, the money that circulate for traditional music only, yeah? In the whole world of course. Now that's the challenge. We have to be able to reach that market also in order to, let's say, sustain our traditional music, our music. That's basically two things. Yeah.
Okay, so I got two keywords. The first one is about keeping it as our identity as part of our daily life, and the other one is talking about the market share, how we penetrate it. So let's talk about it one by one. Let's go with the identity one. How do you see the current situation related to our traditional music? You mentioned that it sounds like it's not real part of our identity nowadays,
yes,
although it is. So, yes. So how do you see it?
Yeah, comparing, so I've been developing my career for 50 freaking long years, right? So that's, let me try a little bit from historical point of view. When I was young, let's say when I was a student, when I was still developing my career, traditional music wasn't count that much. Yeah? The government also didn't put enough effort to not only to preserve, but to maintain, to nurture traditional music. Yeah? That one, because the awareness wasn't really there. Yeah? But nowadays, yeah, especially now, today as we speak, we have all the necessary ministry. This is, I'm trying to say from the government point of view. Yeah? We have the RRE is one of the focus. You know, RRE has been there for a long time, and always the main task, as I understood, is preserving and nurturing traditional indigenous music everywhere, not only in Jakarta, because RRI is a state-owned radio, right? So this is thanks to RRI, one thing. And TVRI supposedly also do the same thing, although in the urban setting, not so much. But if you go to local state-owned television, they're still basically doing traditional culture, performing as one of the programs. And also, don't forget, there are many, like, you know, private TV stations. They are also doing that same thing. Now, we're talking in the state level. We have what's so-called Ministry of Culture now. That's really a breakthrough. After 79 years, long years, we got our independence. This is the first regime that has that awareness to have our Ministry of Culture. That actually already been mentioned since the even before we got independent by Ki Hajar Dewantoro, we should have Ministry of Culture. Yeah. By the time, even before the this nation state was founded, yeah, they already have huge concern about Indonesian culture because we are so rich. Now, then we have another ministry that's also very crucial. It's the Ministry of Creative Economy. This is a ministry level, not badan, but a ministry level. No other country, not many countries that really have those two very important ministries. Yeah? Basically, mostly all countries, they combine. They combine with Ministry of Creative Economy, with sport, with culture, with tourism. So they're so, I mean, in my opinion, it's a bit complicated. Now we have specifically ministry for that. What else do we need? There is, of course, tourism. And don't forget, in the provincial level, in the city level, we also have dinas. Yeah? Dinas, let's say, I'm talking now, for instance, I'm in Jakarta. So Jakarta, Tourism and Creative Economy Board. Yeah? Jakarta is a big, of course, they are used to be capital. Yeah? It's a big, what do you call that? It's a big city. So we have this, what do you call that? The institution, which is so crucial. And yet, of course, there is also basically in the similar different level. We have in the kabupaten, yeah, in the region, in the regency, in the city, in the wali kota. So we have all the necessary from government perspective, all the necessary tools to preserve, to nurture, and to develop, even develop our traditional culture, traditional music in this way as a product for export. That's all.
Okay, it's a product for export. And still talking about the identity itself, of course, we cannot only talk about the government or the agency's level, but also in the grassroots level.
Yes.
I mean, since I was little too, if I can tell you a story, that a lot of people says that our traditional music gets replaced by the new one because of music from abroad. But now, but since I was little, I mean, you also mentioned that like so many years ago, even it, not all people play the traditional music in a daily basis. Is it is it one of the problem too? And if it is also the problem, where can we improve that?
That's a very actually that's a very big issue. Yeah, of course we are expecting those whose ancestor discover, I mean invented this particular so-called tradition, supposedly taking care of what they inherited from their ancestor. Yeah? That's one thing. That's really, of course, there is no like law for that, but that's an obligation. It's a moral obligation. We have to maintain what we got from our great grandfather. Yeah, because it's not easy for them to create that. Yeah, that's one thing. But of course, the daily challenge in our social life is also big, very big. Yeah, and also, don't forget, we are a post-colonial country, meaning we have been colonized for many, many years, right? So the colonizers come from the West, right? And they brought their culture, they brought their cultural system, not culture. Culture is a product, but cultural system, basically what you're doing in your daily life. So we are already very much dominated by so-called Western culture living today. Yeah? That's called cultural hegemonic. Yeah? Now, because of that, there is no way we can avoid it. You know, sometimes we forgot that we are Indonesian. Sometimes we think we are like the same, like American, European. No, we're not the same. Yeah? But in the daily life, sometimes all the modern, what so-called quote-unquote modern facilities, make us forget that we are not European or American. We're still Indonesian, no matter what. Now, this is this awareness that needs to be, what do you call that, needs to be reminded by our government. That's why, not that, okay, this is your responsibility. Yeah, of course, but we need to be reminded all the time. Now, that's why we organize, like, cultural festival. I'm trying to organize, like, World Music Festival with DKI, the Dinas Kebudayaan Ekonomi Kreatif. Yeah. This is actually a reminder. Yeah? Of course, we are promoting, we are preserving, but I also want to remind people, hey, we still have this. Don't forget. And this is part of our life. You cannot ignore this. Of course, you can like K-pop. It's okay. I don't mind. You love whatever you like. You love jazz, you love rock, metal, even K-pop. It's okay. But don't forget, we also have this. This is also part of it. That's why the obligation is, I mean, the government actually has obligation, but the obligation is to remind us, to remind the common people that we still have this. That's the most important.
Okay, so we got the need, a reminder, and also remind ourselves that traditional music is really part of our identity.
Yeah.
So it's not only about the government. We cannot blame one thing.
No,
it's quite complex. And what we can do in the grassroots level is to even play it on a daily basis, for example. And and this is going to be bridging from identity to the market. As we can see in Indonesia, there are a lot of DJs or even music composers combining Indonesian traditional music and EDM, something like that. And they said that they're aiming to bring it closer to the next generation who is more exposed to the modern music. But how do you see our people treat our traditional music compared to the modern ones and also the traditional ones?
Yeah, as I mentioned, nowadays, that's a very interesting situation. Yeah, people might assume that our youngster, the what do you call those generation, the millennial generation or even the Z generation, they're all oriented towards Western life. No, not all of them. Yeah, they have behind their brain, they have awareness of keeping their own cultural identity. Now, of course, not all of them. Yeah. You can see now there is like an interest, very strong interest among the youngsters in traditional music. And also, among the artists that already basically overwhelmed with all the Western music idiom. As you mentioned, even our DJ now trying to dig out something from tradition. Yeah? Especially those who have international experience. Because I have an orchestra consisting of all traditional instruments. When we perform abroad, sometimes perform in the concert hall, they have one condition. They said, I don't want you to use any Western instrument. Wow, I said, okay, so find your thing, because my orchestra, although I do sometimes use like guitar or bass, but they specifically want to see your originality. That's the demand in the market, the global market. And also, you can ask all our DJs. I know very few young DJs. They're trying to incorporate traditional, music into their music. It's their music still. One thing, for instance, like I'm gonna have this Kojek. Yeah, Kojek is a rap of Betawi. Yeah. Very interesting. I mean, they're using rap, but they still, he's still aware that the Batawi musical ingredient is very important to develop, not only identity, but his selling point is very important. You know, we thought that ingredient, we thought that component, he will be the same like any other DJ. But since he's corporate, he become very unique. then he become like a representative of our cultural life, especially Betawi ya, dalam hal ini.
Okay.
That's yeah.
Okay, so yeah. I would like to imagine myself, for example, I'm a conservative person and talking about this incorporation and mixing our traditional music. How far can we mix it with the modern one until some people said it's not traditional anymore?
Wow, your question is actually very crucial. All of your questions I can develop into a topic in a paper. That is the challenge, yeah. Combining traditional music and modern music is not as easy as people a lot of think, yeah. A lot of people think, oh, let's do collaboration and just put it together. And no, it doesn't work like that, you know. It doesn't work automatically because those elements live in two different nature. Western music is one nature, traditional music is another nature. They both cannot be easily mixed, you know, because they both have their own system, musical system. So you have to know each of their history. And then you can see through that, you can see where is the meeting point, where is the encounter, well, how can you combine. You cannot just combine everything just like that, you know. You have to choose which element that you can use to develop your new, what's so-called hybrid kind of, yeah? That actually the talent. And unfortunately, in order to do that, you have to study both. You have to study Western music. You have to study traditional music. You cannot be just a practitioner and use that as you like it. Yeah, you can do it, of course, yeah. But very rarely you're successful in doing that, you know. And it can easily fall into what's called artificiality. Yeah, it become really shallow. It become like a simple-minded kind of, you know, act, yeah. So that's the dangers of combining those two traditions,
okay.
Basically. Yeah.
Okay, so we have been using the word tradition, and if you ask people, maybe specifically Indonesian, could you mention me, name me one music instrument, they will be talking about guitar, talking about piano, but if they are they need to be specifically asked. Tell me the traditional music instrument from Indonesia, then their mind will be about kecapi, suling, something like that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
The word traditional, the word exotic, the word local, should we keep it or should we remove it?
Wow, that's another very crucial issue. Yeah? Term is, of course, very crucial. Yeah? The way, for the same thing, if you use two different terms, it can have two different impacts. Yeah? Traditional, I have to admit, doesn't sound, proper anymore. Yeah, that's why I rarely use, in my festival, I rarely use traditional music festival. To the AP, we still use it. Pesta music traditional music, or all the government use traditional music concert, even now. But actually, we have to find a new term, yeah. The best term, I don't say this is what we have to do it. I'm using the term world music because I have to follow the market kind of term. If I use the term world music doesn't always have to be traditional. Yeah? So, because if you say traditional music, that's when you are really traditional music. And if you do it, in the outside of your country, outside of your environment, they will say, oh, that's your traditional music. And that's your business. I have no obligation whatsoever to support you because that's the tradition. It's traditional. But if you use world music, that's a different story. And they because in world, globe music, there is, okay, world, I'm part of the world, so maybe your music is part of my concert too. But once you use traditional music, they say, oh, that's your tradition. It's none of our business. You take care of your own tradition. That's really the challenge. That's why we have to think what would be the better term for using or naming or whatever traditional music, yeah. Within our context, maybe it's okay. It's clear. It's much clearer rather than world music. What is it? But traditional music, oh yeah, we know traditional music. Yeah. In our context, I mean in local, national, it's okay. But when we go abroad, that's another story. Because once this music being brought abroad, abroad is basically market. No more your own playground. It's already market. And in market, I like it, I pay. Yeah, I pay because I like it. That's the thing. So that once we bring our traditional, whatever, music culture abroad, we have to be careful in branding that product. That's the challenge.
Okay. And apart from branding and bringing our music to the world, what are the other challenges that you face?
That's a very, the very tricky question. Many challenges. But I'm so happy now, as I mentioned to you, this is the today, this year, the 50 years anniversary of my career as a musician, composer, scholar, everything. I have no complaint whatsoever. Yeah, I have to go through all the very complex work, of course, yeah, issue, challenge, everything. But I enjoy it very much. That's why I become a musician. I have many challenges, yeah. But now I have to convince. Now we have the law, yeah, the law, undang-undang pemajuan kebudayaan, yeah. That's a law. Every single like government body, in the whichever level in the kabupaten, they have to act according to the law. There is a law to develop culture in your own backyard, yeah. So in the state level, the central level, let's put it that way, we already have that kind of awareness. But in the local level, in the regional level, they might not necessarily do that. I still have a lot of, I've been hearing a lot, local musicians, for instance, they've been surhat, yeah? They've been complaining because the local government treating them like a beggar, basically, asking for money or something like that. Nowadays, before the law was exist, maybe, yeah, but now there is a law. So everyone of us, I mean the government especially, have to act according to that law. They have responsibility to develop their culture in their region. Of course, one of them is by nurturing the local artists there, local musicians. They have to support, not because only that obligation, because if you support the local musician, they can have access to the global market. If they're ready. This is the thing. I'm trying to develop also a workshop, something like that. Yeah, because they need to be empowered. Of course, the regional artists, they need to be guided. Yeah. So that's why I'm trying to work this with the ministry level or the provincial level, and also even the kabupaten level. I'm going there, trying to convince them. This is your asset, actually. Your tradition can make not only money, but can make your destination, your area, your city become famous, because they're basically bringing your culture and they're introducing your city, something like that. So this is my challenge. But of course, I only have so much energy, yeah, and capacity. So I just do my best, you know, whatever close to me, whatever, whoever, you know, willing to listen my ideas, to accept my ideas, I'll do it.
Okay.
I'm trying now to combine, to convince actually the Ministry of Creative Economy, because now they have a big responsibility to get revenue, to be able to export our music abroad. That's the biggest challenge.
All right, and we wish that challenge will be overcame, not only by the government, but by everyone, not only musicians, but also the people themselves, the people of Indonesia,
yeah,
also,
yeah,
support this in this challenge. And now let's talk about the upcoming event that you the video. In the video we played earlier, I saw the lineup, a lot of mixture. We have keroncong, we have modern one,
yeah,
we have kojek.
Yeah.
Could you tell us about it?
Yeah, this is now what so far I mentioned to you. This is the Jakarta Beat Society. We did it with the Jakarta Tourism and Creative Economy Board 2019. Stop now, we revive it again. Now, basically, this might be the only world music festival run by government. In this case, of course, the Jakarta government. Yeah, most of the festival are run by private, basically, and of course, private. The main thing is trying to get profit. Yeah, but the government is different. As I mentioned to you, government has the obligation to remind us all the time that we have this own culture. And yet, of course, the government also has responsibility to develop this our indigenous culture so they can survive, you know. So the government doesn't have to support them all the time. That's impossible. Yeah. These people, this musician, has to be major. Yeah. But in order to do that, the government support them first, in the first level. So this is what we are doing with Jakarta Creative Economy Board. Yeah. Particularly, so Jakarta Beat Society is a festival of wood beat, April 24 to 27 in Jakarta, in Lapangan Banteng. Yeah. It's a festival, but it's also a showcase. Showcase meaning we invite buyers, we invite promoters, we invite festival directors, we invite publishers, we invite collective body to come and to talk to the musician. And then we present the musician and then we let the musician talk to them directly, even in the marketing world, to sell your product to them. So convince them that your music is good so they can invite you to their festival. And once you get invited abroad in the festival, that's how basically what you have to do. And every year, like what I'm doing with my Indonesian National Orchestra, we're touring every year, you know. So a lot of people abroad that interested in having us performing. And then we can, you know, not only promoting our culture, but we can live as a professional musician with traditional music. Don't get it wrong. This is traditional music, my ensemble. Although the music is not traditional only, I developed from tradition to become a modern musician.
Okay, so in here we can see all the aspects of Indonesian music, not only
yeah.
the music, the musical instrument, but also the
yeah.
market, and of course the musicians itself also needed
yeah.
to be supported to get access to a greater market, both in Indonesia
yeah.
and abroad.
Yeah.
And with that, we hope that our music, Indonesian music, can get to the next level. Okay,
yes.
thank you very much, Mas Frankie Raden. It's been a
yes.
very nice
thank
talk
you so
with
much.
You. We wish that
yeah.
the event will be successful, and as we wish, once again, Indonesian
thank
music
you.
Can go to the next level. Thank you very much, Mas Frankie.
Thank you so much. We need your support for sure, especially Voice of Indonesia, and of course the state-owned radio RFI. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, everyone who listened to this program. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mas Frankie. And
thank
listen.
You.
That's
yeah.
our talk about bringing Indonesian music to the next level. And you can listen to this again on our YouTube channel, VOI Official. Stay tuned on our radio service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcasts in 9 language services, English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voinews.id and RRE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you. Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Terima kasih. suka lagu ini bagai sangat di jiwa. Oh hatiku ini namun tak perlu berharap. Mari bernyanyi bersama dalam kegisahan yang ayu dan pesona jiwa dan berpesta. Tiga-tiga retropolis pemesin waktu menemui masa lalu. Dan aku sungkan kesenang berlihat gaya pesona dalam nyanyian bahagia yang kau cipta. Semesta memberi damai, terima kasih padamu kau pujangga. Ku adalah hati terbunyi dalam air dan aku. Nadamu akan selalu menjadi warna hidupku. Mari bernyanyi bersama dan kebisingan yang aku mempesona jiwa dan berpesta. Tiba-tiba retropolis pemesin waktu menembus masa lalu. Dan aku bukan terkenal dengan gaya pesona dalam nyanyian bahagia yang kau cipta. Semesta memberi damai, terima kasih padamu kau pujangga.
Located in East Siantan District, Anambas Islands, Riau Islands Province, seems to be hidden because it is flanked by small islands that are quite hilly. The Selat Ransang Beach is on 244 hectares island. The beach is not so wide, but its position is really surrounded by clear water that has gradation colors between green and bluish. Almost every corner of the Selat Ransang Beach can certainly be snorkeling and diving spots, which offer undersea amazing panoramas. Coral reef and marine biota at the beach have various kinds of species, and also the ecosystem is relatively well maintained. At Selat Ransang Beach, you can do diving, snorkeling, and fishing. At the beach, all places can become fishing areas. But if you want more something challenging, you can directly do fishing in the middle of the sea. To go there, you should go by boat and have enough fishing equipment. If you do not have the equipment, don't worry, because you can still enjoy the scenery of the beach or swimming in the shallow water of the beach. Without snorkeling equipment, you can see coral reefs and multicolored fish swimming at the bottom of the sea with naked eyes. It is really an amazing scenery which can fresh your eyes. Listener, if you love marine tourism, please set your time to visit and have a vacation at Selat Ransang Beach. We guarantee that you will be satisfied. And if you visit Anambas Islands, you better explore the islands one by one by renting a boat or trekking to some islands.
Children love their screen time.
Screen time.
Yay!
But sometimes they don't.
Screen time.
Okay.
Changes in behavior may be a sign that our children have been exposed to inappropriate content or online bullying or predators. Pay attention to the sign. It's not too late.
Screen time.
Dad, help me.
Find more ways to protect children online from your local children protection agency or visit unicef.org.
Boy listener, this Korea with featuring Adinda with Bersinar Bersamamu or Shine With You. Because who wants to be shining together? We all wanted to shine in this world, and of course we want to shine in our own spotlight. And of course this song really represented with this Korea, and let's enjoy the boogie.
Bye.
Kasawami is a unique and typical food from Southeast Sulawesi, specifically in Buton, Muna, and Wakatobi areas. Kasawami is generally shaped like a tumpeng or cone and is yellowish white. Cassava, which is widely grown in the Sulawesi archipelago, is the main ingredient of kasawami. Firstly, the cassava is washed, peeled, and shredded or milled using a machine. Then the grated cassava is put in a sack or coat to be compacted. This compaction is to remove water content by being crushed or pressed using a tool made of wood or large stones. Then leave it for 1 to 3 hours until the water is completely dry. The solid is pure white. Next, the solid is wrapped in teak or banana leaves and tied. The solid is called kagepe. To make kasawami, initially kagepe is kneaded by hand until it looks like flour. Then the ingredients are put into a very unique steaming cone. This tool is made from woven coconut leaves. To steam the kagepe, they use a pot made of clay similar to a jar. The cone filled with kagepe flour is put into the mouth of the pot. Then it is cooked with medium heat and medium volume of water in a pot for about 15 minutes. One kasawami is generally made with a diameter of 10 cm and a height of 10 cm and weighs approximately 500 to 700 grams. Usually, a person can spend 1 to 2 kasawamis. Kasawami is sometimes served as a substitute for rice because it is often served along with vegetables and side dishes of various processed fish, such as grilled fish, fried fish, and salted fish. Kasawami is the initial food in Buton's traditional events. Interestingly, kasawami is also often used as stocks for trips or souvenirs between fellow Buton residents. Kasawami can be eaten without side dishes, accompanied by a cup of hot tea in the afternoon. The distinctive taste of cassava and the sweet blend of tea will add to this culinary delight.
When you're in my way, might be here today. I don't wanna stay out late just to hold you. I don't wanna do what we used to do. Oh, I don't care.
Here's the news. Three Indonesian badminton pairs have advanced to the quarterfinals of the BWF World Tour Super 300 Orleans Master 2025 in France. Mixed doubles pairs Rehan Naufal Kurshayanto, Gloria Emmanuel Wijaya, and Adnan Maulana, and also Indah Cahyasari Jamil secured straight game victories over their opponent in women's doubles. Apriani Rahayu and Siti Fadia Silva Rabadanti also progressed after defeating Denmark's Julie Finn Ibsen and Mai Suro. The next news. Former Indonesian President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono highlighted the critical role of trust in international relations during his lectures at Tokyo's National Graduate Institute for Policy Studies on March 6, 2025. He noted that the ASEAN nation viewed Japan as a trusted strategic partner due to its consistent support and transparent cooperation. Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono also affirmed that Indonesia's membership in BRICS aligns with its non-alignment foreign policy, aiming to strengthen its presence in international forums. And that was the news.
Mengapa kau tak membalas cintaku?
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcasts in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz.